Good afternoon, Dr. Hunter. This is Monica Hendricks with our First Response Prayer Line Ministry, First Response Children Crisis Ministry.com.
Amen.
How are we doing this afternoon?
Could you repeat that again? I'm blessed. Could you repeat that again?
I said I'm here representing First Response Children Crisis Ministry.com.
Uh huh. Well, praise the living God. I mean,
yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this, now that I have you on the international radio. What is your push toward what God wants done more?
Underneath the blood of Jesus, basically I want Jesus Christ to use me to go out into his kingdom and save souls. I want him to use me to give me the anointing, all the armor, the grace, the mercy, the wisdom, the knowledge and the guidance and understanding to go into the crack houses, bars, prisons, shelters underneath the bridges, and to the places where most people just won't gravitate to. I'm on my knees and I'm praying. I'm in my Bible, being a sold-out Christian, just to save souls for his kingdom.
Amen.
And the younger, the better. If I can catch that woman while she's pregnant, if I can catch that kid, even before they get into public schools, private schools, hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Well, one of the things that I take notice of, I understand and I see you have a great love for the work of God. How can you tell somebody to come to the road where you are in righteousness?
Basically, what you have to do is tell them that Rome was not built in a day. And Jesus Christ is who he is. And you have to respect the God that respect differences. And sometimes when people are coming out of something, and you try to pull them out of the pit, you have to understand that it's not going to happen overnight. They see our walk, and that's what makes us the Christians that we are, and they want what we have, which is the way it should be, so we have to show them. Come to church, a fivefold ministry church. Sit still for 2 hours. Don't just come to church. Come to the Sunday school morning, okay? It's a smaller group. It's more intimate. It's more of an intimacy with Jesus Christ. And you go through him,
Amen.
Through his Father, underneath the blood. Okay, and you just wake up every morning and just tell them, thank you. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father God. You woke me up this morning, not my alarm clock. And if you just give him the praise, okay, every day, every morning, before you step out of bed, he'll pave the way for you.
Praise
the Bible.
Well, you know what? You know what? I know that it's hard these days, as an email submitter, trust people these days, but you have to trust somebody, ask God to show you that person's spirit if you're in doubt. This person sent this to me. So while they're sending you, I want to say to them, if you believe in Jesus Christ, never be in doubt. Because the Bible teaches us individually and purposely. It said, try the spirit by the spirit and see whether or not they're of God. You can try that spirit and you'll know if it's of somebody. What doubt is. You even have to go and spend time with them. Now, let me get back to you and ask and say some things to you because I want to. Can I interview you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this. You've been knowing Jesus for how many years, and see where you are now, and what are you? You already give us a synopsis of what you want to do, but in this present time. What are you willing to do?
As of right now, I'm in Bible College, and I registered up for Bible College first at Grand Canyon University. And for some, it was online. I was given $7,000 to study biblical studies, and my undergraduate study degree was psychology. I went through 5 semesters, and I didn't pass the psychology. I checked out of that college. So my GPA was still high enough to stay there, but I was living in a hotel, and I didn't want to take the chances of me losing the grant money, so when I can go back, I get some stability. And my Aunt Ada Jemison, which I've been walking underneath her just before I started going to the Emmanuel Temple School of the Bible, told me about this other Bible class. And it's more personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's smaller. And so I have been there. I registered up as my associate's degree at the Emmanuel Temple School of the Bible with Dr. Bell. Well, at that time, it was Mr. and Mrs. Dr. Buckner were my instructors, and I'm working now on my master's degree, and for me it's personal. It's not about, whoo, I got a degree. I got, anybody can go to college and get a degree, but it's a, Jesus, I want to get to know more about you. I mean, reading the Bible is beautiful, but I want someone to take the word like firmament, and I want them to give me 300 words underneath it. I want someone to take someone's name like Moses and tell me, why was he so special? God could have went to his son Jesus and said, use anybody. But he picked Moses. And what happened 2,400 years ago is happening now. We just have to want to choose to be a part of the blessings. Because in the book of Psalms, oh, how does
Hello?
He delight? Jesus
Hello?
Christ delights.
Praise him.
He delights. In the book of Psalm 35:27, the Lord
him.
Is magnified at the prosperity of our servant, of his servants.
Yo.
Praise him.
Hello.
Amen.
Hello. Amen.
Hi.
We're building a church here in Raleigh, California. We're building a church.
Oh,
praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's going to be called the First Church of the Dark Lord here in Raleigh. Praise the Dark Lord. Praise him. Praise him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is
praise
using people from state to state.
Praise the Antichrist. Praise the devil. Praise the devil.
You said praise the devil.
Praise him.
Hello?
Praise Howard Stern. Praise Howard Stern.
Wait a minute. Where are you calling us from?
California, Raleigh, California. We're building the first church of the Dark Lord.
Okay.
Praise
the
dark
world.
Praise.
Well, let me ask you this, my brother. I'm hearing what you're saying. But are you affiliated with Jesus Christ?
No, I'm affiliated with the Dark Lord. The Dark Lord. Praise him. The pentagram for life. Full life.
All right. Well, I'm
with the devil. The devil, the Antichrist.
Okay. Oh, you and y'all are with the anti-devil, huh?
Butt plug. Anal bead fuck.
Well, I'm going to say this to you. May I say this to you? As a man of God, if you don't know, come to know Jesus Christ, we who believe, we're going to see you burn in hell.
We're going to see you
burn
in hell. You're going to come
with
us.
That's the whole point. That's
the whole point. We worship.
God's not real. God's not real. He's fake. The whole thing, the devil's real. He made everything.
Praise the Dark Lord.
You should pray. I don't praise the Dark Lord. See, because
you do.
The Bible
tells
me.
You praise the Dark Lord. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
He has no truth in him. And
he's
all those
believe
like you believe
will go to heaven. They'll go to heaven.
Hello?
Oh, yes, I'm here, Dr. Hunter. I just really didn't like hearing the message that we had got there. But we just got to pray for those people. They are just lost like the atheists. But you got to do it gently. And I don't care what state you're in, what country you're in, because the devil is busy. He's out looking for souls just like Jesus comes to us gently, but Lucifer comes to us worried, choleric. And he just wants to get all the souls that he can get. And the more people that you get on your radio talk show, Lucifer is just not going to sit there and just let it happen. Okay, but we don't have to be a part of that. We can show them the light because they probably have never seen the light. And it's not because they're up there in California where all the sin is there, because sin is everywhere. You have to tell even the atheist people, you know, the churches that they have. Jesus is real. He delights in showing you his prosperity. You don't have to go to the topless board and buy you some love, okay? You can go to the church house and get a woman of modesty where you don't have to worry about STD diseases. This is the Bible. This is
this
happened 2,400 years ago.
Let me say this to you. The one thing I take notice, I have a lot of people that call this radio station and talk that nonsense. And the best way, he's off the line, he got his own stuff over there, because the power of God is greater than the dark world. And I told him the gospel truth. I'm not going to play with a demon. I'm not going to play with him. I'm going to treat him nice. See, the demon, the devil in disguise come to destroy us. So he ain't going to fly a kite for us, I'm concerned. I told him, you don't know Jesus Christ? No, he worships the dark world. Stay in the dark world. See, but we living in that time where you're going to find young people. You can be nice, but don't be dealing with a demon, because it will He wants to keep you in conversation, tie you up and jump on you. And you saw what I did for him. I don't have any love for the devil. No love for the devil. And I say this to you and everybody listening to us. I have no love for the devil. Because the devil don't love us.
No.
So why do I have to say to the brother, that's why I kept examining him. Who are you? Do you know Jesus? No, I'm the dog. See, but anyway, let's move on to what we've done. One thing I would say to you is this, is that Jesus Christ, finisher of everything we do, and you were saying how that you want to reach the unreached and tell the untold, going to the place where people have not been heard about the name of Jesus, and these are people that need some quality help. They need some quality understanding so that they can get. So my prayer to you is that God will equip you in the fivefold to work what he's called you to do.
I receive it to the 100 power. In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus, underneath the blood of Jesus, I receive you using me, Jesus, giving me the grace, the mercy, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to go out there and feed your people, feed those souls, catch them, Father God, with peace, love, kindness, and gentleness, Father God, that you will give me, Lord Jesus, the mentality, the finances, beyond favor that I need, Lord Jesus, to go nationwide and international on the radio, the television, with books, schools. I mean, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we can even do, Father God, bless us to have game shows for junior high school kids. So when they get ready to go, when they graduate from high school, they can come to the Million Temple. They can come to any school they want to the Bible. And they can start there and get their degrees and go beyond teaching your word as well. There's so many ways that we can get people in the kingdom of God. They have game shows such as The Price is Right, such as game shows where they talk about politics and they talk about other things of the world, such as art, but we can talk about Jesus. We can have game shows for that. We can be artistic using Jesus Christ through the Bible, the King James Version.
Yes. Amen. Well, you know what? One thing that I would say, we both have been to the school, and I've been to the university here and the university there, but the most enjoyable time that I've had is going to Cornerstone University in Houston, because opportunity presents itself so that I can reach somebody. And I know that there are a lot of people who are practitioners. And I always say, always have your Bible with you, because you take your Bible, your sword. When you take your sword, you can always say to the devil, see, the devil don't know the word. He don't know the word. But when you put the word on him, he can't. Well, you know, Jesus said that. Yeah, but he told me to say it. And see, he's given us the authority. He's given us the power. It's up to us what we want to do, you know, and I say to every believer, one of the things that I tell people, you know, all of us become intercessors. Why? Because we need to pray one for another. See, the body of Christ needs to be in much prayer, much, much prayer, much, much prayer, because we have an enemy. And the Bible teaches us. He teaches us about him. See, when you go to those people you're speaking about, you're going to be able to, this is what the Lord showed me. And as a result of that, they can say, you know, man, she was a blessing for me. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because I was informed that, you know, the devil knows the word just like Jesus knows the word. But he can twist it. And see, the devil can't be everywhere. But Jesus is everywhere. And Job was never tested by Lucifer unless Jesus gave him permission. So we just pray for a covering And we're getting intimate with Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No form of evil will rise up against us. We will not even be tempted by the devil. Everybody in the Bible has come to him because Jesus wants to leave us that way, always going to him. But he will restore. But if we just stay in his perfect realm, we won't need that. Because we will always have him with us.
I'll say this very much. Everybody that must know if they're sure about their salvation, fight on. If they're sure. And when I say if they're sure, because the enemy's going to come to you like he came to the devil. Lucifer called our father in the garden to fall because he knew then what he was doing because God has allowed him. But God has given us, he's given us a, we have to make a quality decision. Life is choice driven. When we make a choice of what we want to do, we can do it for God, by God, and through God. It's up to us. So I say to the people that listen to us, the more you can trust God, the more you can trust God, the more you can trust God, and you put on the full armor of God, oh, yes, the devil's going to come and test you because that's his responsibility. But as long as you don't fall flat on your face, you can keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen?
Yes. You just keep that faith in that Holy Bible, that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, and say it underneath the blood, underneath the blood, underneath the blood of Jesus. Purge me, Jesus. Purge me in that Holy Bible. Purge me in that Holy Ghost. Purge me in that Holy Spirit. And then teach me how to keep the devil underneath my feet. Show me how to keep the devil underneath my feet. Teach me how to use my kryptonite. Show me how to use my kryptonite. Teach me how to be a blessing to myself. Show me how to be a blessing to myself. I'm 180. I need the blood of Jesus. I'm 180. Spiritually, financially, socially, mentally, academically, in the name of Jesus. Memorizing Bible scriptures. Being the walking Bible. A sold out Christian. A participant. I participated in the church house. The right people in my life, the wrong people out of my life. Burn generational curses, burn 360s, drown. Drown the serpent in my life in the name of Jesus. And I need the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus to the 100 power. Grace, mercy, healing, forgiveness, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the Holy Bible, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I turn it for a caliber of future, Jesus. What the devil meant for evil, turn it around for our good. Mentally, in our minds, our heart, our body, our soul. Hallelujah. The Heavenly
Amen.
Father God, give us some strength, Jesus, to go out there and catch those souls. And that's what I mean by those dark places, Dr. Hannah. Those places of the atheists. You know, across the people. The people are coming to us. We're the weak ones. We're the ones we need to get their voice out there. For us. They have a church. They're so organized. So this is why, you know, I can be melancholy and be a listener. But I can be choleric in the Word of God. God knows who to get their energy to because he knows what I'm going to do with it.
Yes. Yeah.
When we keep our minds together, he knows that it's focused on us, on him. And when it's focused on him, he will give us the guidance and the wisdom and the knowledge because we're going to need that strength. And not man's strength, but God's strength. We need men on earth. And this is the reason why if we can build a church, take it a mile apart, two churches on every block, a mile apart, that's not too bad. Now, 85 feet, no. But every about 30 feet, that'd be great. In between there, have some church bookstores. Have nurseries with sold-out Christians in it. And this start a trend. And I just believe that God's going to do this. He's coming back for his people. He's coming back soon. And the devil knows his time is up. Right? He has taken those people from that circle world and the people that everybody knows by name. Some of them, they're killing themselves. They're paying people to kill them. The others, they OD'd up all kinds of drugs. And the rest of them, they fading away. But God's word, God's word is everlasting. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, the life we live in, it is incumbent upon us to take the word of God and hide it deep into our heart, into our spirit, into our knowledge, that, as it said in the book of Colossians, that we might grow more into the knowledge of God and understanding and wisdom and in knowledge. Because we got those basic three criteria. We can fight the good fight of faith. See, but when you see Jesus, he taught you and I in the synopsis, he taught us how and who is the enemy. But he said, I have overcome the enemy, that you might overcome him. See, some of the people like you and I don't believe like we believe. We believe nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing is impossible. But some people have to be educated, managed, up to that position to see. Well, once they see it, oh, okay, I see what God is saying. God is he's every powerful, he's omna. He's all that we have. But God knows how to download to us what he wants to do through us and by us. So let me go ahead and continue. Now, you should have a doctorate by what, another year or so?
Yes, right now I'm in my master's degree, so in the name of Jesus, next year this time I'll be in my doctoral degree.
Are you going to get a doctorate of theology and a divinity?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to be patient, sit still, and just learn God's word.
Well, I want to tell you this. When you get to the doctorate degree, when Dr. Barbara Wright was living, one of the greatest teachers that I met in the world as far as ministry. She was very intelligent, she was astute, and she stayed in the Word of God and fought the good fight of faith. But as it comes, all of us must die. But while we are living, it behooves us to get to know Jesus Christ, and other people can see it. See, I'm reading the book, and I'm saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord have us to do what we have to do. What we have to do is go preach the word. I like what you said about a small church. Some people don't like a small church. Some people like, see, the reason why some people want a big church is because they can hide in it. They can hide. They've got their wickedness, their different attitude. But when they come down to the level of seeing and knowing, it's a different story altogether. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Amen.
But that's okay. At least we have them in the church house. At least they're hiding in the church house. And they're not in a crack house somewhere or doing a form of any promiscuity. So it's a start.
Yes. What do you think about fasting?
About the who?
About F-A-S-T-I-N-G, fasting.
Fasting is excellent. Because fasting gives you a little purity in which God can reach you more. And so when I consider someone fasting, I consider someone drinking a lot of water. And when you're pure, you can receive the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And you replace that with reading the Bible and nothing is in your flesh. Jesus can really expeditiously work with you. And you can receive more of his interpretation. You know his voice. That's why people that are on medication, God put doctors on this earth for a reason, yes. But that medication is just doing something to the cells of the human endocrine system and the delirium of the human body is the way you always lackadaisical. I mean, you're always relaxed and you're always asleep. And unless you're sleeping, listen to God's music, how are you going to be able to receive his word? Like, how are you going to be able to know that it's the anointing that's trying to touch you when on the inside of you, you have man's remedy of trying to heal you instead of going to Jesus for it?
Yeah.
Like, they
well,
cut
know,
the medication in half. You'll see God put his work on it. Give you the right doctor. Give you a spiritual doctor. So when it comes time for you fasting, you're going to say no. You're going to surrender. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that because my God is better than that. I'm here to show up and show up. I'm going to fast.
Amen. You know, one of the things I would say to you this is that the more we give God the praise. And see, the Bible says we were created to praise him. And the more we praise him, see, one thing I'll say, and I'll say this to you, you're now at a level at the master's degree. When you get to the doctoral degree, you're going to see things in a different light altogether. Because you're going to have a deeper walk with the Lord. You're going to have a greater revelation. And you're going to pray for the ministry that it break forth and grow like never before. When you get to that particular level, you're going to see it moving on you. You're going to have unlimited power. You're going to have to make sure that you got victory time. You have to get excited for your own self.
Yes.
See, I get excited for myself and nobody else. See?
You have to. You have to be like David. You have got to encourage yourself, and you got to be excited.
Amen. I said, "Ooh, God!" I said, "You showed this. You used this piece of flesh. You showed up today, and you showed out." See, when you get into the Holy Spirit, see, and this is the reason why I tell people we need to pray for these obstacles that are hindering us in our walk of Him. And it was Jeremiah 32:27 says. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, and there is anything too hard for me? No. If God, God didn't become flesh, but his son became flesh, but he's the God of flesh. Now, for me to understand that, I would tell you, I'm still thinking. I have not come to a conclusion yet because I'm still trusting and believing God. If he's God of the flesh, his arm is not too short. And this is why I say to you, my sister, the more we walk into the fullness of God, the more we can be in tune with God. See, when you walk close to God, there are going to be people that's not going to want to be in your company. They don't want to trust you. They don't want to talk to you. They're going to say, well, you think you're this, you think you're that. No, if the Bible tells us, see, when God gives us a mission, he certifies it. It is incumbent upon us to go and let God do it. In the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Well, what do you think about these women today? You got a word for them?
I just want to encourage them. I know that it's beyond temptation that's out there because a lot of them, they come from women of the 1940s. And the women from the 1940s, unfortunately, there were a lot of laws that because of your skin color because of this, your education, that you cannot do this. And so, therefore, their kids from the 1960s to the 1980s were not educated into anything. They were thrown into high tech to where they couldn't get educated. So, therefore, I want to encourage them through the Bible. Jesus will give you favor for something with your name on it. I cannot stress intimacy alone. Take out an hour of your life every day. I mean, I don't care if you have to go get a manicure. I don't care if you got to mow the yard. I don't care if you have to, like, do the laundry. You can pray in your head. And what you need to do is say, underneath the blood of Jesus, burn generational curses to the 100 power. Because a lot of women, that's what they're dealing with. We're better than what the social media wants the women to be, sex symbols and things of that nature. Jesus Christ said, no, you're the bride. You belong to one man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wants to prepare you for that. Makes you very universal. Okay, to where, I mean, you're a jack of all trades and masters of many in the spiritual world. Now, you can go back, uh-huh. You can reach back. You can help that woman from the 1940s and pull her up. As long as you are breathing, you can read. You can learn. If you got to go online because you can't really interact with other people very well, you can do that. Because then when you educate a woman, you educate a household. When you educate a man, you just have educated a man. And it takes two to mix the unity.
Yeah.
But it's the woman, okay? Now, if I'm gonna step in your house, I'm going to make sure I get along with your wife before I get along with you.
Uh-huh.
And it's out of respect to another female. And my main focus is on the female and the society, okay? Let's wear the modest. That's not being promiscuous. And the only way you're going to get that is in your mind, okay? If you are married to somebody and he's using you in a circular industry for any reason, to show your skin, that's not love. He's, quote-unquote, prostituting you. Jesus did not design you for that. Anybody can do that. Do something that's in the Bible, something that's for Jesus Christ. He will give you something with your name on it, with a talent, with a gift, with your education. Walk with him. Because things have got to burn off of you to where you're very nonchalant to it, to where you don't want them drugs. Okay? To something as minuscule as your dress code, your walk. Your physical walk, the way your makeup is, your whole appearance will change. I have seen it happen with the most choleric people in the entertainment business. So I know it can happen for me. I have seen it happen for me. If Jesus has pulled me out of the pit to help others, my mother came from the 1940s. There were things that she did not know. I reach back to the women that are in the prisons, in the shelters, and I say, come on. Let's not dwell on that because Lucifer wants you to dwell on it. Let's dwell on what you want to have. Write it down on a piece of paper. Pray over it 10 times a day for about 10, 20 minutes. And then act upon it. Start with a certificate. Start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. Finish one project at a time. And you little that you know, the people that are in the Christian world, they're right there.
Yeah.
Everybody you need is just right there. It's all a matter of you getting purified. And fasting is going to help because you drink in the water. It cleans you out.
Well, you know, one of the things I take notice in is what this life we now live. We got problems in government. We got problems in the home. We got problems on the job. And I just say to Christians, as you said, we've got the word up. I love the word. It's our own identification. As you pointed out, when we identify with the Son of God, the same righteousness that Jesus has, he gives it to us. And I've come to understand the more you download people with information and put it in its context by the movement of the Holy Spirit, they're going to say, okay, well, this man has got it going on and she got it going on. But we have to just stay focused, must I say. When you're focused on the commission that God has said, you're going to smile, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to do what God say do, because the love you have for God. See that, I'll get this out of my crop. See those two people that called on? You know, still just sitting there praying for them. Because I want them to make a change in their lives. I may never see or hear them again, but I'm going to pray for them that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because ain't nobody going to get in there. The Bible says in Revelation, the last chapter, it points out who's going to get in, who's not going to get in. And I say this to people. Have you had that study yet? Judges and Crowns yet? Hello?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm listening. Yes, I've been studying.
Yeah. Have you been on that class on judgment and crown? Have you studied it yet?
We've studied some of it, but most of it going over the temperaments and the pure temperaments, and then elaborating on that.
Crowns that are made mention of in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
In Corinthians, in Romans. It's all through the scripture. But I ask everybody, and I say, I said to a person, I said, well, you know, God won't judge me. And if yes, he is, he's going to judge me. No, God judged me. I was judged at Calvary. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, that's where I was judged. Now, what he's going to look on me, and I have to stand before the great white seat of God. Because God wants me to tell him everything, which he has the list of it, what I did while he was in my body. And that's the hard question. But you'll be right. And I say people because the Bible says, Paul says that we don't judge ourselves. We have to judge ourselves. And some people don't want to judge themselves. I have to judge myself every day. I got shortcomings. Sometimes I get upset, and I have to control myself. And I ask anybody, if you say that you are 100% so pure and holy, you're not living the right that God has called you for, because there's going to be some times, but you got to push it off and keep moving. And that's why when you get into that class about judgment, it's going to be a whole litany of things that the Bible tells you about. And you're going to say, I didn't know it was all in the book. It's in the book. But it's put by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And see, there are going to be some of us in those tribes Revelation, the seven churches, they're mentioned also. They're mentioned. See, it behooves us who say we love what we love, we must love Jesus Christ like never before. Amen?
Yes. We must love him first.
Well, let me ask you, do you believe? Amen. What are you saying, my sister?
I said, Dr. Hunter, we must love him first, then everything here on earth.
Yes. Well, I will say this to you while we're on the conversation. Loving God, obedient to God. When we obey God, we love God. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. See, and a lot of people don't know that scripture says, while we were yet sinners, God loved us. While we were yet sinners, God loves us. Why did he love us? He loved us so because he gave his only begotten son. And the price that was paid, no man but was paid, because God asked a question in the book of Psalms. He said, okay, he saw all of you think that you big shots. I'm just putting it down a level. All of you think that you got this, and you do this. He said, well, who can pay for a man's soul? And said, nobody. Who can pay for it? God asked the question. Nobody but God through his son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And it's up to, as we encourage the people to see the not the hopelessness, but the attitude, the adventure that God gives us to do in our mind. You know, you can become an adventure person in your mind. You can just say, okay, God, this is the mind. I want the mind of Christ. And the more you pray for the mind of Christ, the more your mind becomes like the Christ. The more. Why? Because you think of not mundane things. You think of things lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. You want to lift up the fullness and the flow of what God wants to know in this present time that we now live in. And see, let me ask you this. what is your understanding of the government that we live in?
Something that I'm not very pleased with, that we just really need to OD in prayer because of the homosexuality that's going on. But I believe that God is going to touch one person and he's going to knock all of it out. I really do believe so.
Well, do you believe that Christians should be involved in politics?
Yes, so that Christians should be involved with politics, and that way you can close down like the topless bars and open up more Christian psychiatrists dealing with marriages with doctorate degrees, which is something I want to do after I receive my doctorate degrees. Then that way this man can stop going and buying love as opposed to he can go to his wife and find out what she's not doing. And the politicians should rate them every week, so therefore they won't have them anymore, and then we can stop that in America and then turn that thing around and build more schools to where, or have more teachers, have smaller classes where people can learn and get an education, spend more money on people coming out of prison as opposed to putting the prison on the stock market. You see, there are 700,000 people in the penitentiary because I have my prison ministry. And then I write them every day, and you have people with 4.0 GPAs all the way to people that came from a lifestyle that a GED. It doesn't really matter because without Jesus Christ, you are, it's almost as if you are just asking for guidance into a life of darkness. And unfortunately, a lot of them have to sit still. Some of them had choices, and others of them didn't. But it's not so much as how educated you are; it's what you do with the education that you have. And that's why, if the government were to come in and start with the churches, a Christian governor. Christian political people, if we can vote them in, start with the churches and the schools, especially the public schools. If they can hire more teachers, they have the finances, they can hire more teachers. Instead of having 20 kids, have 10 kids per class. In 5 to 10 years, you'll see a difference in society because nobody will be left behind.
No. Well, some people don't want it. But some want it. What do we do when you got some people who want it and some don't want it?
Actually, that would be the solution. You have to show the people, if you have Jesus with you, this is how things can happen. It will happen a lifetime. You don't have to worry about compromising. You don't have to worry about, well, I'm 40 years old, and I'm 60 years old, and I've been working for this company for the last 20 years of my life, but, you know, I'm still healthy, and I still got to pay my taxes on my home, and they're not allowing me to file for, you know, retirement because I have to be 65. Well, if you do it with Jesus, his money is nothing. Someone tried to buy somebody in the Bible with $4 million. That's not money for him. That's not money for Jesus either. He can overflow it. But you want to make sure that you won't forget about him.
Yeah. Well, since you mentioned, if a person receives $4 million, do you think they should go straight to the church and give that money?
I believe that they should at least tithe at least 10% to it.
So if you were to receive a check of $10,000, would that 1% go towards the church or towards your ministry?
Oh, no, it would definitely go towards the church I am a member to first.
Okay.
And not 1%, but 10%. Because then it would be my tithe and my offering, so it would be $1,500. Okay? I would pay my college tuition for my master's degree and my doctoral degree, and then I would take care of my ministry. You see, because I would pay for the church that has a foundation, simply because they have brought me where I am today. You, Dr. Hunter, and Dr. Flanagan, and Mr. and Mrs. Dr. Bartner, and the Queen Bee there, you know, Dr. Beth and everything. You know, it takes an army to raise a child.
Amen.
And even though I am 40 years old, it doesn't mean that I am a PhD in the Word of God. Even though I had a piece of paper, that means I have sat still for 4 or 5 years out of my life and have learned that curriculum. But I am still hungry for Jesus Christ. I'm still trying to learn Bible scriptures, and I can paraphrase it, but I don't know too many people that know about send me 10,000 Bible scriptures. And I'm pretty sure it's way over there. That's a staple, to know 10,000 Bible scriptures in the Bible. But I still want to say in God's presence. And the beauty of it all is that I'm able to attend church 2-3 times out of a week. So God knows what he's doing.
I hear you.
His work would not go bored. His
nope,
work would not be
more...
a negativity in your checking account.
His work
would not leave you in a wheelchair.
That's right. See, one other thing we need to take notice of is that God is available for us. And I keep telling people, if you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. But they got to believe. See, you got people that come to church and say, well, they done done this before. And all this, God wants to say, I love you. And a lot of people don't want to take God at his word and let God's word prove. God say, bring the word back to me. He said, prove me with my word. And that's all he wants. He wants us to prove. Well, Father, you said in your word that if I can trust you, all things are possible. And we got to know for sure. We can't go up there quietly. We got to go up with a humble spirit, trusting and believing God. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in supernatural miracles?
I do believe in them. I don't know if I should or not, but until I'm informed differently, I believe that Jesus can give you a miracle. He did it for someone that was in the jellyfish of the well. So that was a miracle. He did it for Sarah. That was a miracle.
Well, let me ask you this then. You believe that you can raise the dead?
No.
Hello? Okay, why?
Because I believe that when Jesus Christ says that you are gone, that you should stay there. Now, in all honesty, with technology today, yes, you can. Because, really, God didn't invent us for us to die. We're not flowers or plants. We are human. The brain never really dies. The brain just keeps on reinventing itself. You got that left hemisphere and that right hemisphere and your four frontal lobes, the pituitary gland and our occipital lobe and, you know, all the frontal lobe, all of it is just, it's learning. It goes on with the neurons that they have. The more neurons that it cleans up when you're not doing drugs or defiling it with liquor, the more powerful it is. And I don't care if you're 2 foot tall or you're 6 foot five. That is the most powerful thing that's in your body. But if Jesus Christ said that it's time for you to get off this earth, is it you have done your work or you allow Lucifer to take your wife?
Amen.
So
well,
I'm not saying that to answer your question. So, yeah, you can go to the dead, put some exchange brains with someone. I don't know if you can give him a heart, but I believe that you can do that. I would do it because you are really messing with God's work. It's almost like telling me to study black magic. It's just like telling me to confess to be Job. I'm not going to confess to be Job. I'm not going to tell you I witnessed it. That's just like you're telling me, whether I go and do the things that Dr. Bev is doing at the Marian Temple School of the Bible. God did not bless me to do that. Now, he blessed me with 700,000 inmates to write in prison. He paved the way for me for that. And I believe
well,
that Jesus Christ has got...
Let me ask you this. You got your Bible?
Yes.
Okay. Go to John 14, chapter, verses 12.
Okay. I am here. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do also, and greater works than he will do, because I go to my Father.
Okay, now wait a minute. So all the greater works that Jesus did, was it for us to do it? Yes. Why? Because we are
exercising. The things that he did that was like the foundation. We will do four more greater things because we're moving forward in time. This is all, we only have one more month and this year is over with. You know, I'm talking to you, but I've known you over 2 years of my life in your space. So there are a lot of things that people can tell me, some that they can't, because I know for myself, we have been growing. And this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to reach back, grab somebody that wants to be in the body of Christ, save souls, learn the Bible, get filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and go anoint honors other people, other souls, and bring them to his kingdom. And just do a recidivism just like that. Also, he wants us to do way more further things, whether it's with our talents, our education, different languages, sign language. We have to be the Davids, and we just dance our way to Jesus in a spiritual way.
Yes.
Get degrees in fashion, and church dresses, put on church dress and fashion shows. There's so many different ways that you can say, hey, I am representing Jesus Christ. Everybody is not going to be a preacher and have a building. It doesn't take that. You can go out there on the street, right there on Bissonnette. You don't have to have no microphone. All you have to do is love Jesus Christ. And what is in this Bible, the King James Version, don't twist it. Don't twist it for two pennies. Because if you don't twist it for two pennies, I mean, Jesus Christ start blessing you with 200 and put it three or four more hundreds, more zeros behind that. If you know you're not going to twist it and you're not getting paid for it, just imagine when he starts compensating you, because he feels like, well, you need a car now. Or, well, you know, I need to take care of your appearance. Well, you're talking, I need to go get your teeth fixed. He's seeing how much you love him.
Yeah. So, well, you know, one of the things that I would say as we were talking, I know it takes time to mature to certain levels up. And all of us have to word up. The more we word up, the more we can understand and see what God is doing. And when we word up, we can do what God called us to do. When I say word up, the more you understand what God is saying. And that's what Jesus said. He said, greater work. Well, Jesus raised the dead. He stopped two or three funerals. Jesus made bread and a water into wine. He forgave a woman of a wrongness, and he put it on man and said to man, wrote in the day, said, if any man, if somebody see you writing that, we all know that you was out with so-and-so, and so you were doing this. And so Jesus said, who can cast the first stone? Let it do it. So Jesus has a way of teaching you and I a way. When we come amiss certain people, just because somebody think I'm so good, they don't care about how good I am. They ain't in love with me because that flesh is always standing in the way. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I pray to bring my body under subjection. Because if I preach to you and I'm doing the same thing you are, I'm not any better. And we have to live for God. We have to live for him. We have to know for him. A lot of people, they don't believe in the laying on of hands. Some people, that's antiquated. No, I said, but you always want somebody to pray for you. Is that antiquated? Oh, no, you're supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray to God for me and pray for those that God put in my way to pray for them and pray for the lost souls of the world. Amen?
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. Well, let me ask you one more thing. Amen. And it's been a joy talking with you, but I want to ask.
Thank you. Likewise.
Ma'am?
I said thank you, Dr. Hunt. It's been a pleasure talking to you, speaking with you as well.
Don't leave yet. See, the one thing I would say to this world we live in, everybody can have the Holy Ghost on you and I have. You know why they can't? Because they don't get wrapped up. They don't know him, and they don't believe in him. And see, because they don't. And that's the reason why we have such a fight with people And sometimes it looked like people said, well, I would talk to her, but every time I see her, she's so quiet. She don't talk much. He don't talk much. Sometimes it's best to just be quiet. The enemy will tell you why he's finna hit you. A lot of people don't know it. See, the enemy is always lurking and snurking and seeing how he can get you where he wants you to be. Amen. I'm going to give you the rest of the time to talk to the people. Somebody's out there listening, so you have the it's yours. Speak to the people out there.
Okay. But to my fellow Christians, sold out Christians, baby Christians, I want to encourage you to read the Bible, meditate on the Word, walk the Word, dress like you of the Word. Wear your makeup that way, your hair, and then just begin to speak it in your everyday conversation. And then your battles that you have to fight, you won't have to fight them no more. Jesus will make your crooked places straight. He will enlarge your territory. Okay? He will bring the right people in your life. He will take the wrong people out of your life. He will teach you how to be a blessing to yourself. He will teach you how to keep the devil underneath your feet. How to keep your enemies scattered. And he will also teach you how to enlarge your territory through the Holy Bible, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. But without Jesus, it's not going to happen. You're going to hit and miss. You'll be for a season. Then you'll be due in the atmosphere. God's word is longevity. It is the number one book in the Congress of Office. Up there in that Library of Congress, that is the number one book. He died for our sins. He loves us. He knows what you're going to do. He knows that you go to church every Sunday and you're still doing this and you're still doing that because you're dealing with your flesh. We all were born in sin. We're all the filthy rags. But little bit by little bit, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, purification with fasting, praying, the church house, memorizing Bible scriptures, being the walking Bible, a sold-out Christian, become a participant in the church house. Just give yourself some intimate time with Jesus. And let's obey the book or the foods that we're supposed to eat. Let's not eat like gluten. And then we have to encourage ourselves sometimes. Because, you know, if you're being promiscuous, and you have to make your living. But when Jesus, when these people see that you're a sold-out Christian and you're making your living and you don't have to show your skin to do it, there's going to be hatred and jealousy, but you're showing them. Because Jesus Christ is gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask him, I need some Bibles. I need 15 Bibles. I want to go preach here. I want to go preach there. I want to get these two. You can't tell me that you love living in a shelter. You can't tell me that Jesus built those prisons for you to live in that. He might use you for his glory. He might use you to get your attention. Mommy and daddy didn't know. He allowed mommy and daddy to be used so that you can go to him. He's your daddy. You go to him when you need things. I mean, you this OD in your prayer life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus and underneath the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you this then, because the youthness in you still are there, tantamized to the world we live in, and you know, at a certain stage, a young lady turns from a child to a woman. Do you do you get into the conversation? Did you hear what I was saying?
Yes.
Do you get into the conversation?
I've been very blessed that Jesus Christ has retained my youthfulness in my face and also in my features, but that was something that was done at childhood. I've always loved to exercise, and I always loved to take care of myself, and I knew that Jesus Christ was for me. I was born into the church house, but I was raped out of it through my family simply because of my mother and my journey with her. She was not a sold-out Christian, and she smoked, and I come from a divorced home, so therefore it was a struggle for me. And I didn't have finances to take care of myself, and I didn't Yeah, I was not an A-plus student. I didn't learn how to read, so the church also was the only way that I knew how to get somewhere. And that there was, the devil just seeped into that. And I had my uncles living in my room. She took on a lot of people. But I said, I know that Jesus is the way. I know it is. But no one would have set me down and taught me things. But they taught it to me by their walk. And this is what I'm saying. If Lucifer can show you things with a walk, Jesus Christ can show it to you. I was just never shown Jesus other than the church house. But the church house is not Jesus. The church house is right here in your heart. That's the church house. But I know I knew right from wrong. I just know how to go about doing the rightness. But I knew in my dress, and no, don't wear those tight jeans. Don't wear that skirt that short. I had no common sense to know that much. Okay? And then that's the reason why, you know, I was told, you know, 10 years from now, you're not going to age. You want to know why? Because you don't drink, you don't smoke, and you have a lot of adults in your life. I said, you want to know why I have that? Jesus. He would take that burning desire out of you. And you know, some of you Christians or want to be Christians, so are not Christians, it would never be in you. You'd be very nonchalant to want to do drugs, to want to do adultery, to want to land a hot check. It would be something that's just not in your system. And that's the reason why God could use us as some people as clerics in those prisons. Some of them, hey, you just go door to door, and you just be the evangelist in the church, okay? And you just sit there. And the man is beautiful. And when you go to him, he can restore. He can replenish everything. The journey that I went on, I can reach back, and my mess is like a message, okay? And the crying and the tears, there's nothing wrong with that. But you take it and give it to Jesus, because he's going to take that, and you're going to be a witness to somebody else, and you're going to get somebody out of prison. You're going to get somebody without a TDC number out of prison. You're going to get that woman that is drinking while she's with her child, and she's not going to pick up that beer again. She's going to do everything right from there on out. And sometimes it only takes that one message for somebody to know that, well, how are you going to sit there and talk about God? You were never homeless. You never came from a mother that did drugs. You was never this. You was never that. And that's the reason why I say I walked those shoes. I chose that. It was the Holy Bible. It's for free. So I can't ride the bus. I don't have money to go to the bus. I don't have a transportation to go to church. I know how to pray. I know how to get in the Bible. Like I said, Lucifer is just not going to let you just do it. You will have to fight for it. The only way you're going to fight is not with your strength. Because if you're only 5'1" or 5'2", well, he'll come at you being 6'3" and just stump you. But with Jesus, he'll move that mountain or move you. Just give him a try. 1 hour a day. For 1 month, and just say a little prayer before you read this Bible, so you won't have no distractions, even with your children. You sit them down, they have cartoons that Lucifer put in there. That's not what your child is. Your child, it's not okay to be in the age, it's not. It's okay to be a child of God. And at that age, your child needs to be watching Christian television, Christian cartoons. You need to monitor them, what they eat, what they watch, who they're looking at, what they're looking at. They have a little move. But you need to be careful with those bitty eyes, see.
Oh, Jesus. Amen. Well, you know,
amen.
The one thing, I will say this again, too, because the time has come for us to start fasting. We need a deeper and closer walk with our God. And by that, it means we've got to give up some stuff. I call it stuff. You know, the world says stuff. TV got to go off at a certain time. Phone calls got to go off at a certain time. You got to come before God in much prayer. So that you can get, and you mentioned about the Holy Spirit. And I say this. See, we will pray for a greater revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because there are many things God has yet to do for us and through us. And he does it by revelation. See, he ain't going to tell everybody this, because some people don't want to be told,
And the devil is seated waiting for him. See, the devil cannot receive revelation. Only God's sons can receive the revelation. The only revelation the devil has is destroy, destroy, destroy. But Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, but the enemy come to do what? It come to kill, steal, and destroy. It don't make a difference who you are, where you've been. So I will say this to those listeners. We need to pray for your ministry and for the ministry that God can have his hand and the ministry can break through like we've never seen it before. And
yes.
I want to thank God for you being on the phone with me tonight, and may God bless you. I'm going to turn on some other words that I play that people can hear. You might want to just listen what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to put some word on, and you can be right there and just listen, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Dr. Hanna.
Oh, anytime. I'm here for you, like I tell you. I'm here for you. And the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you.
Yes. And
listen at this before you get out. Listen at this. I want you to hear this. Can you hear?
Yes.
I am reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none, or permit none, of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it help and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26:3 and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, that by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed all. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13.
When Jesus heard it, he departed. Hello?
Yes.
You still here?
Yeah, I am here. I'm listening. You're just getting fed.
Sorry. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. I love that.
They were going over.
You're welcome.
Under the land of Gennesaret.
Okay. And have a blessed evening, and let no form of evil rise up against you, in Jesus' name.
Okay, God bless you.